Got a question for you. What happened to last year? What happened to 2006? Was it a blur? Did you accomplish everything that you planned? Ask yourself, how can you be different than the masses in 2007? How can you achieve more and do more and be more and have more? Folks, EagleQuest is a business of marketing and promotion, and mostly pursued by people who have no idea how to market or promote. It's a business of leadership and ownership, pursued mostly by people who have never led or who have ever owned their own business. Let's be honest, rarely does anyone succeed in a brand new career or an occupation their first time up to bat. You know, during your first 12 months in EagleQuest, you're basically getting your feet wet and you're learning the ropes. And if you come to the table with some wild expectation of hitting a home run, well, that's just downright irresponsible. You got to earn it, folks. You got to practice, and you got to fail over and over and over again until you learn what works and what doesn't work. Every time you fail to accomplish what you wanted, but you got back up again and kept going, well, you won, because that's the only difference between, you know, those who make it in this industry and those who don't. All the big guys, well, most of the big guys, started out as little guys, and each of them failed their way to the top again and again until they finally got it. It took me 9 years of failing in the network marketing industry before I got it. And I finally made it because I developed the patience and made a commitment to get what I wanted, and I wouldn't quit until I did. You know, working at home, not really easy. There are many temptations that are constantly competing for your attention. Your family, your favorite TV show, food, chores, you know, things of that nature. You come home from work and your old routine is there waiting for you, and it's tempting you to give up and give in to mediocrity. Just picture Al Bundy and you'll get what I mean by that. An EagleQuest business is easy to start, and therefore it's easy to quit. And having the discipline to come home and go to work again, this time for yourself instead of your boss, well, it's simply a matter of desire and scheduling the tasks which need to be done. See, the difference between knowing what to do and doing it is whether or not you schedule it. Scheduling your activities each day, it's a critical step to reaching your goals. And that, my friends, brings me up to today's special guest speaker. Master Manager Bill Davis is an expert in this area, and he knows that success only becomes real through the habitual application of correct knowledge. I remember the first time I met Bill, it was at the EagleQuest Leadership Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, which I don't know how many years ago that was. It was several. And Kelly introduced him to Jennifer and I as her fiancé. And I remember he seemed rather quiet. And because I had a lot of respect for Kelly and what she had accomplished, I couldn't help but think, oh, man, I hope Kelly knows what she's doing. Well, as time went by, I started hearing about Bill Davis being a former corporate executive who was used to earning hundreds of thousands of dollars annually. And then I started hearing him and Kelly speak at various events, and their talks were powerful and they were informative. So I made it a point to get to know Bill better. Y'all remember last week when I told you that leaders hang around award winners trying to pick up any scrap of information that the, you know, that'll help them become more successful? Well, I wasn't just whispering Dixie there. Well, Bill and Kelly, in short order, they went on to advance to master manager and win all kinds of awards. And yeah, I heard he's a good golfer too, but I hadn't witnessed that part yet. There may be February when he comes to Florida to do some meetings for us. Well, folks, I asked Master Manager Bill Davis to join us on the call this morning and to share with us his success secrets. And fortunately for all of us, he's agreed. And so it is my pleasure to introduce to you my friend and fellow Master Manager, Bill Davis. Bill, take it away.
Well, James, that's quite an introduction. You set the expectation pretty high. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be on your call and to join up with other leaders. It is an honor to do it, and it's a pleasure. It's a little early here in Moline, Illinois. It's a few minutes after 7 o'clock a.m., and I have to admit I'm a little bit tired. I just returned from a road trip. I was pretending I was Bob Giddens for the last week. I put about 3,000 miles in my car. I traveled from Moline through snow to Louisville and then to the northeast and went up there into New York and then back down into Kentucky with David Dyer and that area and then back up into Pennsylvania and then decided that I wanted just to be home in my own bed, so I drove 16 hours straight to get back home, and so I got back in at 4 o'clock yesterday morning, so I am a little bit tired, but you know what? I feel really invigorated because I'm doing what I want to do when I want to do it. I get to become the master of my destiny because I'm choosing my future, and I would want that kind of life for any one of us that's on the call. So how did I get to EcoQuest? And James, you know, shared with you where we, when we first met up in Minnesota 5 years ago. Well, my new life began then, but my old life was a little bit different. I was brought up in the Midwest in a two-parent family with loving parents that took me to, had me go to school, and I went to church. I was just basically a pretty good guy. But I kind of drifted through life until I started to figure out what was going on. Went to the service, spent a little time there with Uncle Sam, came back injured through that Vietnam era, came back, but I came back highly motivated. See, prior to going to the service, I just didn't care too much about life. I didn't have any purpose or meaning in anything I did. And but going to the service taught me a couple, three lessons. Maybe you guys can relate to this. One of the lessons I learned was I don't look particularly good in green. Second thing I learned was that I don't particularly like camping very well. And the last thing I know I don't like is when I have people shooting guns at me. And those are the three things that I had to do because I didn't have an education because I couldn't make choices. But I did notice in the service there were guys who wore tan outfits, lived in buildings, and were the people who told other people who get shot at. And the difference between them and me was that they had an education. And I finally decided that my dad was probably smarter than I thought he was when he had told me to go get an education, and I ignored it. Well, I came back from the service pretty highly motivated. Went to college, got a degree in short order, and had an opportunity to go into the corporate world. I worked for a number of major companies you might have heard of, like IBM and Digital, Computer Vision, Xerox. I had a career in real estate. Had started a couple small businesses, had some successes, some failures, but had a pretty interesting life. However, it wasn't really complete. I mean, I had tons of success, made millions of dollars, but I found myself at 48 years old, burn up and burn out. Just couldn't take it anymore, and I was fried, and so I quit. I walked away from a very large six-figure income and stock options and all those benefits that you get when you're at the top of the ranks, and stayed alone in my big old house by myself. I had kind of very painful divorce. Cost me tons of money and lost $1 million in the stock market. I was just generally depressed about life. In fact, I got clinically depressed. I got to the point where I wouldn't even leave my house for a while. It wasn't until I found out and discovered that I really have a purpose in life and that I could find significance and meaning that got me out of that. And so I think by the grace of God, I responded to a Creating Wealth from Home card that sat on the corner of my desk for weeks. I had many other job opportunities, but none of them seemed to be appealing. But when that card came in the mail, I responded to it. And on the other end of that phone was a voice, and it was Kelly James of Texas. And as James said, she was one of the leaders in EcoQuest. And the reason she was answering the phone was because the guy who had sent the advertisement was off on a short-term mission trip. Another one of those benefits of working at EcoQuest. You get to go to do things you want to do when you want to do them. Well, anyway, she answered the phone. I liked the sound of her voice. We were both single. We started flirting. And 4.5 months later, I'm married to Kelly. And I don't know who was the best salesman in that group, but I think I got the best deal. Well, we moved to Moline. As James said, we took her key management to a master management in about 11 months and had a lot of fun, and actually I'm having the time of my life because I'm doing what I want when I want. Asked people questions. I said, you know, are you really enjoying and experiencing life to the fullest? You know, are you getting the most out of life, or is life getting the most out of you? And as you know, as James says, you know, we attract in this business people who have great interest, a strong desire, and sometimes maybe not the skill sets that they really should have to lead people. You know, maybe they've stumbled through life to this point and they're really looking for something, and they see EcoQuest as a tremendous vehicle that gives them an opportunity to really shine and to become the person that they design themselves to be. And better than that, to help other people become the people that they design themselves to be. So here we are, a bunch of people who come from, you know, some successes and some failures, but we come together at EcoQuest and we attract great people and we start to move forward. But what happens? Some of our good people leave. Now, some of the bad people leave too, but some of the good people leave, and we don't know why. And it just bothered me, you know, why would somebody come to this opportunity, having knowing where they've been, and leave? Well, I think the reason is because they didn't know why they got here. See, I think the why is bigger than the how-to or the what-to, don't you? I mean, if you have a big enough and strong enough why, aren't you willing to get out of your comfort zone and stay out of your comfort zone? See, many of them couldn't find their why. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know why they were on the planet. So, I spent many countless hours coaching and mentoring and teaching my team and other people and other teams. But, you know, it got down to the point where I needed to develop a tool to help us discover, you know, why are we here? See, here's the principle that I built this station on. If you have a big enough why, you'll learn the what and the how. And then you're capable of doing whatever, whenever. But if you don't have a big enough why, one of these days you're going to wake up and the simplest how-to is just going to become too difficult. And you're going to quit. You're going to quit on yourself, your friends, your family, your opportunity. You're going to quit on those people that depend on you. We don't like it, but that's just how it is, isn't it? Because we don't know why we do what we do. So what we've been doing over the last few years is putting together a presentation and a tool called My Daily Director, a planning system to help you find the life that you design. Let me ask a few questions. Maybe it's early in the morning for many of you, like it is for me, but I think these are important questions that may be worth writing down. Are the two or three most important things in your life, which probably aren't things, they're probably relationships, getting the time and attention you believe they deserve? Here's another one. Do you feel like you have control of your life? Or do you feel like you're being tossed around? Here's a very important question. Are you where you are today, where you had planned to be 3 years ago? And if so, I congratulate you. If not, where do you expect to be 3 years today, unless you change yourself? Interesting, huh? Here's one. What did one of your ancestors do that made you most proud or perhaps most embarrassed to be part of your family? You've probably never been asked that. But here's the reason I asked that question. One of these days, you're not going to be on this planet. You're going to be gone. What do you want to be remembered for? See, whatever you're doing today is building the character of what the people that are most important to you are going to remember when you leave this planet. So, what do you want to be remembered for? What choices have you made that drew you to or away from the life that you desire? See, every single day, you make choices. Life is a series of them, isn't it? And every day, you've got to get up and decide, what am I going to do with this day? I read a quote this morning off of an email that came through. It was from Margaret Thatcher. I think she was the first prime minister, female prime minister in England. And she said, you know, really, doesn't the end of a productive day feel more rewarding than a day of just lounging around? See, I think we were designed to produce and add value to it. But I think what it is that we all want to have the choice to decide whether I'm going to be productive or lounge around. See, life is a series of choices. And what choices have you made that brought you to where you are that will help you make choices to take you where you want to go? So what do we put together? Well, we put together a presentation called The Why Factor that helps you just maybe make yourself a little bit more aware of it. And if any of you happen to be sitting near your computer, and if you wish to do this, you can go out to my website, which is called MyDailyDirector.com. That's MyDailyDirector.com. If you go out to that website, you can go to the training section, and you can click on the presentation, the Why Factor, and you'll see a PowerPoint presentation that's out there. And if you want, I'm going to be kind of going through most of that this morning, talking to you. So it'll give you just an outline, a graphic representation of what I'm talking about. So you can do that if you wish. And those who don't have it, it's quite all right. I'll be able, hopefully, to keep your attention and just ask you questions. They'll bring you through it. So what happened to you in the past that brought you to where you are? And are you still living your past? You know, Thoreau says that most people live lives of quiet desperation, don't they? I think most of us live in the fear of not having any significance in life. You know, Braveheart, that movie is pretty interesting. There's a great quote in there. It says, few men really die before they live. Few men really live before they die. Excuse me, get that backwards. Isn't that true that most of us have these needs inside, but we don't really get them fulfilled? And why is it? I think it's because we don't plan it. You know, we in the United States have few excuses. There are people every single day trying to get into our country. We're the only country in the planet that people are trying to get into. Everybody else is trying to get out of the other ones. Why is it? You know, why is it that they leave shores at great expense and peril, whatever it takes to get into this country, legally or illegally? Well, the reason why is because, see, they still believe that there's an American dream. Most of us had our dreams kicked out of us, haven't we? See, they come into this country, and a few years later, a nice car, living in a great home, living a great life. And the rest of us have been around here for generations wondering, well, how'd that happen? Well, it happened because, see, they changed their thoughts. Because, see, really, thoughts are things. They're invisible to the human eye, but not to the human brain. You know, Donald Trump says, if you're going to think, you might as well think big. You know, Robert Kiyosaki has said that, you know, that the greatest opportunities are seen with the mind's eye before they are seen with the human eye. Isn't that true? Isn't that really what, when you've had successes, that you've seen in your mind before you saw it there? Because thoughts are things, and they can become what our future is. Dennis Waitley says that we are either captain of or captive to our thoughts, aren't we? Wow, What thoughts have captivated you? Which ones have made you who you are? See, some of us are just bound up with little thoughts that are keeping us from the future that we could have. You know, most of us heard Mitchell Toll talk, and I tell you, when he talks, every time I grab handkerchiefs, because I have to admit, I just cry, because the man's amazing how he can move my spirit. And I remember the story he talked about where he and Alex were traveling in a van, and they saw the circus come to stopped along the side, and they went up and they saw the big elephant that was there, and they'd watched the elephant do its task by taking a big, strong rope and pulling up the tent, and then they go back, and then they have the elephant stand in a corner over there, and they tie him up with a little skinny rope. And, you know, the story's told so that you can get the idea that, you know, here's this big, strong elephant that could break the little rope anytime he wanted, but he just didn't know he could. How many of us are like that, that we've got these little things that are tying us down just because we don't think we can break them? See, I firmly believe that we are who we think we are. Because, see, we don't see the world as it is, but who we are, don't we? And if we want to change our world, we've got to change our thinking. But we need tools to help us get there. And the reason is because we have to become countercultural. See, every one of us that was brought up in this country has had somebody say to us something like this: James, I want you to go to school. I want you to study hard. And I want you to get good grades so that you can get a good job. And I ask people every day, how's that working out for you so far? Not too good. That's why probably most of us are on the line, because, you know, somewhere in our life, those jobs just didn't seem satisfying or fulfilling or give us meaning or whatever it was we were looking for. Sometimes the job left us before we left the job, isn't it? See, in our culture, we're taught how to be employees. We're not taught how to think. We're taught how to do. Every one of us has gone to school. And they said, Bill, I want you to start and write, put on this piece of paper and start in the upper left-hand corner. And when you're done, I want you to pass it along the front like you do everybody else does and fold it over and give it to the teacher. And I'm going to compare how well you do against the guy who sits next to you. And then someday, if you're really good, you'll get a good job and he'll get a good job. See, we teach, we just have this programming to think, to do, don't we? Not to think, to think. We want to figure out, how can I begin to think for a change? There's a good author, John Maxwell. He's got a book called Thinking for Change. I like to retitle it, Thinking for My Change. Have you had a good thought lately that will give you a change, the change that you're desiring and looking for? See, and if we are who we think we are, and we are mostly our thoughts, you know, we need to think for a change, don't we? You know, it said that your past will pale in comparison to your future if you think for a change. So what do? Well, I think we've got to begin to figure out how I'm going to change the metaphor of my life. I'm going to change it from whatever it's been to whatever I want it to be. I'm going to start to become captain of my thoughts. Now, you can't control every thought that comes in your head, but you can control the ones that nest. So you need to be thinking good thoughts, and those good thoughts should hopefully give you good results, wouldn't they? But you know what? Most of us don't believe that, because, see, we don't believe the laws of nature. We say things like, well, it doesn't matter what I do. Every time I do that, I get this. See, the law of cause and effect affects every one of us. You know, everyone knows that what you sow, you reap. But sometimes we say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, I never get good results. See, that's just stinking thinking. See, I firmly believe that most people in the United States have wonderful vacations because they plan them out. And they have stinking lives because they don't. They allow somebody else to plan them out. So here's our culture. We tell people to go to school and to get a good education so they can get a good job, not so they can get a good thinking. See, you're taught to be an employee. You're taught to be a consumer. And you're taught to be an imitator. See, every day, every one of us are going to get up and we're going to drive around or watch TV or look at the internet or whatever. We're going to be bombarded with things to consume. It doesn't matter whether it's food or clothing, and particularly at this time of year when everybody's buying Christmas presents, all those things that we lived without for the entire year that we must have right now. See, we've got to have that, don't we? We've got this big desire. You know what? In our society, with great credit that we have now, we've now spent about $5,000 a year more per person than what we earn. Well, that's really good sense, isn't it? Well, who thought of that idea? Well, all those other people are trying to tell you to consume whatever it is they got for sale. See, we're taught to be employees. Go to your job and do what I tell you. You know, I'll tell you when to go to the job, when to come home, what to wear, how long you can stay. And when you're really good and you stay a really long time, I'm going to give you a pitiful retirement. I want you to trade about 30 years for this little bit of time that I'm going to pay you with money left over. Well, who thought of that? Somebody else. See, what I want you to do is start thinking, how can I create my own destiny, my own future? How can I become the scribe of my own legacy? Well, I got to do that by thinking, don't I? I've got to think for change. And what a wonderful vehicle we have at EcoQuest. We have unlimited capabilities here if we exercise them. But if you guys notice, like me, that most opportunities are great, really don't knock twice. See, we have to be able to take the ball and run with it when it's handed to us. But here's what happens. We live in this overly stimulated world where we're bombarded with all this information and our brain just can't take it anymore. See, our brain has to defend itself, so it shuts things down, starts to guard things up, and it passes up these opportunities because, well, I just can't deal with that right now. I'm just too busy. Too busy to change my life. See, I want to know, is life getting the most out of you or are you getting the most out of life? If you want to change that, you're going to have to think for your change. You're going to have to think, where do I want my life to be? You know, if time or money were of no consequences, where would you be spending today? Or this week or next year? You know, as James said, where did the year go? Didn't it just vaporize on us? Because, you know, I remember maybe last November, December, I was thinking about, boy, what do I want to get done in 06? I got a whole year in front of me. Man, if I could just get a few of these things done. You know what? The things that I didn't plan and work out a plan and schedule to do, they just didn't get done. See, I left it up to chance. Most of us leave our life up to chance rather than planning it out, don't we? But you notice the things that you plan out, like those vacations and those time away, how they come so close to the plan? And the things that you leave to chance, well, you just leave to chance. Like gambling, isn't it? Just leaving it to chance. Well, I want you to think about how I could change from being an employee and a marketeer who's an imitator of everything else that's out in the world. See, we're just taught to imitate and to be like this other guy. We're not taught to think what's right for me. I want you to change to become an entrepreneur. Now, I'm glad you're in this business, and I think you ought to be in this business. It's a great one to be in. But even if you're not in this business, you need to be thinking for yourself. See, that's what an entrepreneur does. He decides who he is, what he does, and when he's going to go do it. See, if you can become thinking like an entrepreneur, you're going to get the results of an entrepreneur. You're going to think for your change. You know, it's said that, I think it was Schweitzer said that the tragedy of life is what dies within a man while he's still alive. How many people do you know are not living the life of their choice? Because they're not thinking, are they? They're just doing. But they've been taught that way, that culture of ours. And as good as our education system is, which is the best in the world, still just teaches people how to be employees. Don't teach them how to be entrepreneurs, how to think for change. Well, see, in EcoQuest, we can not only teach you how to become an entrepreneur, because we have all these great training calls and stuff that you should get to, but we also teach you how to be a great marketeer. As James said, most of the people coming to this call have not had the opportunity to run or own a business before, or to be a marketeer. They've been a consumer. They've been taught that way. But we know we've got lots of training, whether it's nutritional or the technology or whatever. We can teach you how to market products, how to add value to other people's lives. And when you do, you'll get the results of what Zig Ziglar says. You know, if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. Everybody knows that cliche. But how many of us do it? Well, we need to do it but we need to know why we're doing it. So, we teach you how to be an entrepreneur, how to be a marketeer, and how to be an innovator. Every one of us on this call, and I've listened to where you were from, we're across the country, and we have many methodologies and ways to do it. See, we can be an innovator of how we want to design our life. But first, we must become aware of who we are and our life and where we want to take it. And see, we have to become self-aware of our strengths and our weaknesses and where we want to take our life, don't we? So, my plan is that if we have self-awareness, dream some great lofty dreams and turn them into goals, and develop some good strategies where we can just get the results, because we know that the natural laws of the earth that we try to break ourselves again will affect us. The law of the harvest will come out because we'll go through a process. You know, the law of the farm will put things in the right order and do them in the right order. Then we will get the same results if we do the same thing that successful people do. You know the difference between successful people and people who aren't? Successful people do the things they need to do when they need to do them. They put things in the right order and do them in the right order. See, they know who they are, and they know that their self-image of who they are predicates their performance. They must see themselves as a leader and then behave as a leader. See, every one of us has been given God-given needs and endowments. God's given us the ability to know who we are. Self-awareness. We're the only creature on this planet that knows that we're human beings. You know, zebras don't know they have stripes. Elephants don't know they have trunks. You know, they're not aware of it. We are. We're fully aware that we are human beings. We have the need to live, to love, learn, and we have these needs that are ingrained in us. We've been given endowments to get them done. self-awareness is one of those endowments. And then the conscientiousness to know the difference between right and wrong. We just have it. You know, sometimes we do things that we know are wrong, and we do them consciously and expect different results. That's insanity, isn't it? I mean, we know that if we do the right things, we should get the right results back. But we just sometimes don't. But that other endowment we've given is creative imagination, the ability to dream, to see ourselves not as we are, but as what we could be. Isn't that exciting? To think that we can change who we are. Not just the way that we look, which you women are constantly doing. I mean, you know, Kelly Wilson all of a sudden came up with a new hairdo, and I said, well, why'd you do that? She said, I just wanted to change. I kind of really liked the way you do it the last time. Well, she just wanted to change because they just want change. I mean, that's kind of ingrained into us. But not just change for change sake, but change to become the person we need to become. See, we've been given that need and that desire to do it with self-awareness of who we are. Do I want to change me? Am I satisfied with my life and where it's going? Am I influencing the right people the right way? See, I think we have that desire to do it. We know what's right and wrong. And we've got creative imagination. We can see ourselves, if we allow it, to become the person that we design ourselves to be. See, we're not stuck in a rut. We can kick ourselves out of there and get up if we make some changes in our thoughts. Thoughts invisible to the human eye, but not to the human brain. We have the ability to see ourselves differently, don't we? That's self-awareness. And when we do, we can start to embrace success and failures equally. Most everybody on this phone here has had some success and some failures. Don't we really, if we choose to, learn most from our failures? So why don't we embrace them? Well, because we just don't want to do it. We're fearful of them. You know, Roger Staubach says you don't need courage unless you're afraid of something. Well, I think we need a little courage to embrace the idea that failures are essential to our success. See, success is really defined just as a stuck together going in some direction with great enthusiasm, isn't it? But if we do embrace those, then we get brand new beginnings and we get a brand new attitude because we can see ourselves differently if we can learn from those mistakes. See, the key is learning and becoming the design of our destiny. See, the way we do that is dream. And here's a challenge I'd like to propose to you. If you haven't been dreaming, try it. Don't be like most people who sleep through them. And I'm not talking about just pipe dreams that, you know, someday I really wish I had that kind of thing, you know. But some serious dreaming. See yourself in the dream world that you'd like to have. Visualize yourself being the leader of a great organization, rising to the top like James and Jennifer have. Seeing yourself having the team of people that you're influencing. See, those dreams can become goals if you have a when and why behind them. But here's a challenge to you. Take 3 blank sheets of paper today. At the top of each page, just write one simple word, be, do, and have. And then take some time to get along with that magnificent tool on your shoulders, your brain. And spend a little creative time shutting out the noise of this world so that you can get down to writing out your dreams. See, if you take those dreams and write about everything you ever want to be, do, or have, you've started a process that will stimulate creative thoughts. In fact, if you take those dreams and you write down a when and a why behind them, you can make them into goals. And goals will create the future of your destiny. They'll give you the things that you need. I have a question for you. Do you think that the dreams make the people or do the people make the dreams? Let me tell you about a couple of stories. There's a guy called Negative Ned, and I just changed his name because I don't want to tell you who the guy was. But there's a guy, Negative Ned, you know, he's one of those guys, you met him. Probably had one of those guys at your job. Just everything is wrong. I mean, you know, his job isn't right, the boss isn't right, taxes are too high, lunch was too cold. I mean, he's just not happy about anything. Well, Negative Ned was a repairman on refrigerator cars, the railroad cars, you know. And it was a Friday afternoon, and he was out working, and as usual, he's complaining about something. And he's inside this car working, and all of a sudden, accidentally, the door closes. Of course, it's dark. He starts to become fearful. He doesn't know what to do. And his mind said this negative has always seen everything that could go wrong. It's Friday. After all, if he doesn't get out of there, he'll die. And he starts to become panicky. He starts to really worry about it. After all, hey, this is a holiday weekend. It's not only just Friday. They're not going to be here Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. I'm going to die. And in his fright, he starts pounding on the side of the walls. And he's pounding so much that he bludges and bleeds his arm. And in despair, he's shaking and crying and drops to his knees. And as he does, his hands touches small piece of paper. And in the darkness of that room, he grabs a pen, and because he's in a freezer car, he just knows he's going to die of frost. And he's shaking his hands, and again, he writes negative words. goodbye world. This is probably my last words. I'll never get to see my family again. I'll never have the life that I desire. And he's just writing it. Well, as fate would have it, the next Monday morning when he comes back, there they find Ned crumped over in the corner, dead. Well, they take him and they do the autopsy on him, and they discover, yes, his body did shut down from frost. The only problem with this, folks, was that he was working on a railroad car that hadn't been working for 2 weeks. There was no frost. But his mind was so negative, he believed that he was going to die from frost and from cold. When the ambient temperature inside that car was 62 degrees, his mind shut him down. Our minds are very powerful, aren't they? But let me tell you about somebody who had a dream that really worked. Her name was Kelly James. Kelly James was involved in a strange organization, kind of a cult-like thing, for about 30 years. But her dream and desire was to find a facility that could help change people's lives. She had this dream, and when I met her, she told me about the dream. And it was a pretty big dream. He was talking about could cost millions, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, her faith was a lot bigger than mine. I just couldn't see it. But one day, when we were down in Asheville, Kelly and I, and I think James and Jennifer were there too, we'd won a trip to the Grove Park Inn. And we had a wonderful time down there, experienced that. And I found out that this was really close to Billy Graham's training center called The Cove. And I told Kelly about it. She wasn't familiar with it. And I said, let's go see. So as we drove over there to take a look at the facility, she started breaking out in tears. She said, this is a manifestation of my dream. This is the kind of facility that I've been wanting to build. Well, my faith went up immediately right then because I knew I didn't have to build it. Let's go see if we can rent it. Well, we did, and over the last 4 years, we've been able to put on a ministry at the Billy Graham Cove that a number of leaders have come to and had their life changed because, see, Kelly had a dream, and she visualized it, and she acted upon it. See, she decided she wanted to change her life and other people's lives. She took that dream, and she made it a goal. She left a group of people that she had been family and friends with for over 30 years and created a business at EcoQuest that could help her facilitate and live out that dream. See, the difference between a dream and a goal is just a win and a why. And when you can take those dreams and get them from your head to your heart to the soles of your feet, well, it can change your life. And when it does, it creates a set of new roles and responsibilities for us, doesn't it? And then we're responsible to change us. See, we need to change the world. We all want to change the world, but none of us want to start with ourselves, do we? It's going to require that we decide now why I'm doing things, not just what am I doing. You know, what we need to do is to start to prioritize our priorities. Well, and if we do that, we're going to have to discover a way to get it done. See, that's the what and the where. Again, back to that premise. If you have a big enough why, you'll learn the what and the how. Then you're capable of doing whatever, whenever, no matter where. But if you don't have a big enough why, the most how-to is too difficult. You just won't do it. Now, in 35 years of working in technology, as James shared with you, I've worked in a lot of great companies. I found only two problems in working as a coach and a mentor with people. One, getting them to think for and by themselves. And two, getting them to put things in order and then do them in order. Now, you might have seen that in your life, too, that it's just difficult to get people to do that. So how do you do it? Well, my objective has been to help you and help other people figure out why are you on the planet and then figure out the what and the how. And the best way to do that is to write a purpose statement. See, every major entity, organization I've ever been around has had a purpose statement. Now, you may have one. If you do, I really hope you do. If you don't, I think it's absolutely necessary because, see, it'll do two things. It'll put in writing and help you clarify who you are and who you want to become. It's kind of that dream-making-the-person kind of thing. And it also will help you articulate to your team, the people who you need to help, get what they want so you can get what you want of what you're trying to do. I mean, it just starts to help clarify. It simplifies. It identifies. It says what you do, but most importantly, it says what you don't do. See, my premise is this. If you don't have a purpose, you're willing to try anything. But if you have a purpose, you know what to train to. See, if you train to run a marathon, you can accomplish it. If you try to run a marathon, you probably kill yourself. See, every decision you ever make in your life defines you, doesn't it? Some of them destroy you, some develop you, but every one of them defines you. And a purpose statement will allow you to articulate out who you are and whose you are and what you're trying to get done. You know how attractive and magnetic you become to other people when you have a purpose? You've seen people in our company. They know why they're doing what they're doing. They focus on what they're doing. They're not wasteful of their time or your time. They know exactly what they're trying to get done, don't they? They're magnetic. And when they are, they attract other people. See, thoughts are things. They attract things, don't they? And if you have good thoughts, you're going to attract that. If you have negative thoughts, they're not. You ever get in a conversation with a group of people and they're all negative? It's amazing how the thoughts flow, don't they? Because it's so easy to attract to that negative thing. But when some person positive jumps into the conversation, what happens? Man, it just gets different. Because they just haven't been thinking like that for a while, have they? See, having a purpose statement helps you articulate in those difficult days. Because every one of us has difficult days, don't we? I mean, the days when it just doesn't seem to go right. Doesn't matter what you tried. You know, you had an argument with your wife. Things didn't work out too good with the kids. You know, the car wouldn't start. I mean, all those things that happened. And you were just so upset that day you thought things were going to go well. You know, you sometimes need to come back and figure out and ask yourself a question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if you can't articulate it, well, those negative things are going to build up in your life, and they're just going to defeat you. Because thoughts become things, negative or positive. See, having a purpose statement will help you define your mission of what you're doing. And see, without a purpose statement, well, you just try too much. Well, how do you get one? Here's how you get one. Find somebody who has character and characteristics that you like. Figure out what they are and model those characteristics. You know, if you like the way that James leads, then find the leadership skills that he's showing. Or Bob or John or whoever it is, find the person that you want to model that behavior after. And see yourself in that model role, and then become a mentor to someone else. See, we need to be in the middle of it. We need to be the modeling somebody else's and then mentoring. See, we learn best what we teach, don't we? So learn how to model behavior and then mentor to other people. And then find mentors, people who will hold you accountable to what you say you're going to go do. So you're going to dream lofty dreams. You're going to start to write a purpose statement. You're going to write some definitive goals. You know, goals have to be exacting and precise. They need to be short-range and long-range. They need to be mid-range. They need to build on each other. They need to become the foundation of your future. Not just some long, flat blacktop. They need to be foundational, don't they? But you've got to know how to articulate those goals. And when you do, you'll develop strategies. And strategies are just the how-tos. Those are the things that you're going to figure out how I can get there. But let me tell you why I think strategy is important. As I worked in these other corporate worlds, I saw these guys that I wanted to model their behavior after. And I went after them and I kept thinking, what makes them different from all the rest? And every company I've gone through, I've asked myself a question. How did that guy get to the top and why is he at the top? As I looked at him, I found one common denominator in every successful organization I went to. You know, Mitchell tells us that success is amazingly tolerant. It'll embrace tall people and small people and white and black and male and female and all this stuff. But it will not embrace people who do not have a vision, people who do not have desire, people who do not have faith. So what was the thing that was at the top of all these people? The thing was that every one of these people had this one thing in common I called the golden thread of the top. You know what it is? They were all thinkers. They weren't just doers. They were always thinking for their change of what they wanted to be, do, and have. And they had amazing focus. Focus, the thing that Brian Tracy says, the thing that will take you from the telescope down to the microscope. They all had what I call 80-20 focus. They spend 80% of their time, their most precious asset, on the 20% of the things that gives them the most return on their investment. 80-20, not 20-20 or 20-80. See, most of us just fumble around 80% of the time trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have a plan that's written out. What happens when that happens? Well, then everything looks good. You know, if you don't have a map, any road will do. You ever notice if you take a trip, you kind of map it out? But if you don't have your life and your business mapped out, well, any old road will do, won't it? See, by having a strategy, it guards your mind. It makes you think, where am I going? And you rehearse the process in your brain before you execute it in your day. Isn't that how you normally have a good day? Or do you just go out and just kind of approach the day kind of like, well, let's just see what happens? Well, when you do that, things just don't usually happen out the way you plan, do they? So what I want you to do is embrace the idea of developing some dreaming habits. Take those dreams and turn them into goals, knowing the when and the why. When the why is big enough, you'll change your behavior. Then you write a purpose statement that articulates who I am, whose I am, and where I'm going. So that you can get some resources to synergize with to get what you want to accomplish. And when you do, you become magnetic. And when you do, you'll follow a plan, and the plan are the strategies. It's just a written outline of what you're trying to accomplish. You know, it makes sense. You do this a lot in other areas, but sometimes we don't transfer that skill set to our lives and our business. Now, not just our business, but our lives. See, no one gets into this business wanting to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. See, we get in this business wanting to have the life that we design and choose. And the only way you're going to do that is figure out, what do I need to do that supports the strategy to accomplish the goal, to fulfill my purpose? That's the outline of the formula of significance. What tactic, what task do I have to do or delegate to accomplish and support the strategy to make the goal, to fulfill my purpose? And when you follow that outline, it's amazing what will happen. You will do less and become more. Wouldn't that be fun? To be able to wake up knowing some morning that your day was not packed till night, that you actually had time, your most precious commodity, to do the things you wanted to do when you wanted to do them. Wouldn't it be great to be able to wake up when you're tired of being in bed and go to bed when you're tired of being up and do what you want to do in between and have the life of your choice? See, in America, we, of all people who are so wealthy with the many things we have, don't exercise that very well, do we? Because somebody says, well, I gotta get up, I gotta do this. We always feel like I gotta. Well, the people who say I gotta aren't in control of their life. And every one of us who got up this morning could have the life that we design if we take the time to design it. And see, you've gotta have that set. You've gotta figure out a way to do it so that you can get your clock, your most precious asset, the time, to follow your compass. But most of us have our compass following our clock. Here's what I mean. How many of us have said things like this? Boy, I sure wish I could if we could just find the time. One of these days when I make the time, well, if I could just get some time. Folks, none of us can do anything with time. It marches on without us. Have you noticed this? It started before you. It's here with you. It's going to be after you and I leave the planet. We don't have a time management problem. We have a priority management problem. Every one of us is going to get 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, 12 months out of the year. Hey, now one of those days when you're not on the planet, well, you're not going to get a full week that week, and that's another story to talk about. And those are decisions you got to make that have eternal consequences. But what I'm talking about is while you're on this planet, you get 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, on a need-to-know basis. You get no more than that. See, I don't think we were designed to handle more than that. But the question is, what am I doing with that? See, the key is, how can I take those 24 hours and get the most out of them instead of them getting the most out of me? The way to do it is plan it. See, every one of us, I bet, has had a great vacation sometime in their life because they planned it. You know, they got it, decided where they were going to go, how long they were going to stay, who they were going to see, what we're going to wear, all that kind of stuff. Now, the plan was written out sometimes on paper, sometimes it was written out on travel logs, whatever, but it was kind of thought out. We saw it before it happened. We visualized sitting on the beach or going down the mountain or whatever it was. See, I believe in America that most people have 2 weeks a year that are really great because they plan them, and 50 years that stink because they don't. Somebody else is planning them. This is the only dash you get. The average American in the United States lives 25,550 days. That's 70 years. Do some math. Figure out your birth date, subtract the date, see how many you got left. You may not have as big a long a dash as what you might have thought you had. And any time when a commodity becomes scarce, it becomes more valuable. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life? How do you want to spend it? See, I want you to spend it by becoming the lead in your own epic. I want you to design it and put it together the way you want it to be. It'll help you get committed to your life. It'll help you discipline yourself and help you take actions. And most importantly, it'll help you learn how to say the word no. No to a few good things so that you can say yes to some great things. See, if you are the lead in your own epic, you're the one drafting the course, aren't you, and living it out. That way you don't have to be like the rest of the world that keeps on saying, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, can't wait to get this life going. Have you noticed there's no TGIM, thank God it's Monday, that I get to start the day, start the week? But see, when those people think for themselves, they think for a change, they know why they do things, they're powerful. They're the ones that become the leaders of the top organizations they get involved in. See, we have to become aware of who we are and whose we are. We have to exercise the ability to dream. We must take those dreams and turn those dreams into goals. Then we must articulate a purpose statement, something that writes it down, saying, why am I doing this? so that we can be held accountable to it, to those people that are close to us, then we can also be attractive to other people. See, I think that if we do that, we'll develop strategies and then have tactics that will help us accomplish the life that we want. And when we do that, well, then we'll just have an amazing life, the one that we choose to have. So how does it come to what we do? Well, we've designed a product called My Daily Director. It's a planning tool. It's a planning tool, it's not a calendaring tool. It's a planning tool, it's something for you to think for your change, to think through what do I really want my week to look like. It's an 8.5 by 11 format, 2 pages to the week, that's on in a spiral binder. It, in the upper left-hand corner, has 6 most important areas that psychologists tell us that if you have something going on in those areas of your life, you'll feel like you have control and balance. It's the areas of spiritual life, family, personal development, finances, physical and social. Now, I think they're important, and I think that if every one of us would agree that if we had something going on in those 6 areas of our life, there's possibility that we might have a balanced life, that we might have the 2 or 3 most important things in our life getting the time and attention they deserve, that we might be on focus, that we might have balance and control, and that we're leading our own epic. So at least it's working for a number of people. So what the top of my planner has is a whole row across the top of lines for you to categorize the areas of your life and to write in the most important things that you think you need to do. If you think it's important to have personal growth and development, you need to plan it in your life. I mean, you've never, like, accidentally caught yourself on a training call, have you? Just plan it into your life. I've never accidentally caught myself running 2 miles. See, I've got to plan in my exercise, don't I? Now, I asked James a question earlier. Did you ask the question and what the response was? Gentlemen, I ask you this. Are you still dating your best girl? Many of us men get married and we don't plan time with our wives and lives. And when we do, we have a great life, and when we don't, well, it's just not as good as it could be. I asked James if he'd asked Jennifer out on a date lately, and he said he was going to, and so I believe he did. And I know this, that in our household, that when I put Kelly in the right place, the rest of my life works out in the right order. See, Friday night in the Davis household is date night. We work Monday through Thursday really hard so we can have Friday night off to go out and do the things we want to do. We're in a people business, just like you guys. We're bombarded every day with emails and phone calls and all the other things we have to do. But if we don't put and keep our first things in first place, well, this business can really take it over. But when I put and keep first things in the first place and keep the main thing, my life has control and balance. Kelly feels respected, we have a great time, and our life just is more rewarding and fulfilling. So under that family life area, plan in some time with your spouse, plan in some time with your family, plan in those things that are most important to you, so that you'll look forward to the week and plan your week around the first priorities. So my planner is divided into 3 sections. The upper section is a planning section for categories, and then the middle section is how you prioritize your priorities. That's so you can put and keep your first things in the right order. So you visualize the week as you want it to be, what goes first and second and third by on a daily basis. Pardon me. So now you then take those categories and put them into priorities and number them, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, whatever it is your order. Now you've set the direction for your week. On Sunday night or Monday morning or whenever you do your planning, you know what the week is going to look like. You visualize it before it happens. And then you can become a person of integrity. You'll do the things you say you need to do when you need to do them. And now you've set the purpose and the direction, so now you get your clock, your calendar, to follow your priorities. This makes sense. See, it's one of those natural laws that come through nature, that when you put things in the right order, they come out in the right order. Just like the harvest, you know, up where we live in the Midwest in the spring, we dig the ground up, we plant seeds, it grows in the summer, and we harvest in the fall. We don't wait around till like the end of August to throw stuff in the ground, hoping it'll spring up real quick. We know that there's a natural order of sequence that has to happen, a procedure. Just like your day in your life. And when you put it in the right order, well, you get the right results out, don't you? So our planner is just a tool to help you visualize and write out the things that you want to do when you want to do them. So you start with the top, work to the middle where you have your planning, and then you put it into a calendar. So it's just a simple way to do it. And when you do that, you'll get your life in design. And when you do, there's a lot of benefits. You're going to get personal satisfaction. You'll have peace of mind. You'll know your why. You'll keep it in the right order. You'll follow a plan. And you'll go from survival to success, which is an illusion to most people. But you're going to go all the way to significance. When you're finding meaning and purpose in your life, you have a life of significance. You have the life by design that you want. So it's a good way to put things in the right order and keep them in the right order. It helps you become a person of integrity. That's the thing we all want. It helps you develop a purpose-driven life. I ask people this question all the time. Would you notice or could you identify a purpose-driven life if you saw it? Well, that's an interesting question. We all want it, but how do we describe it or articulate it? See, if you can't describe it, you can't defend it. Let me give you four characteristics in closing of what a purpose-driven life would be. One, you're on time. It shows respect. See, most people aren't on time. We just fill our life with too much stuff. We're too busy. Busy being under somebody else's yoke, don't we? Always being pulled and drawn and quartered from other things happening. But be on time shows respect for time and in control of time, doesn't it? Number two, you'll be a person of integrity by doing what you say. See, my family won't do what I tell them to do. And they won't do what's good for them, but they watch every single day to see if I'm a person of integrity to do what I said I was going to go do. In our world of leadership and EcoQuest, we lead a volunteer army. We have no authority to make them go or stop, but we have influence. The authority will make somebody do something, but influence will make people. It will make them into the people they should become. We have a responsibility to be people of integrity, to do what we say when we do it, when we say we're going to do it. And the third thing is to have completion, responsibility to finish what we start. So we're going to be on time, do what we say, and finish what we start. How many of us have countless bags of baggage behind us of things not completed that are weighting us down? See, our past will pale in comparison to our future if we live in the present with hope for the future, knowing that we can get rid of some of that junk and just get it off our back. And the last thing is to develop an attitude of gratitude. We must be thankful through and all things. And when we do, it gives us a new beginning and a new way to start. And that new attitude thing really does help, doesn't it? See, when we start with a new attitude of what we want to be, well, we just become different, don't we? So, be on time. Do what you say. Finish what you start. And have an attitude of gratitude as a purpose-driven, fruit-bearing life. What kind of fruit does your life bear? Does it give the fruits of your hopes and dreams or despair? If we are mostly our thoughts, then, well, change your thinking. Change it around so that you can be, do, and have the things that you want. Know your why. Learn the what and the how. If you have a big enough why, you'll learn the what and the how. You're capable of doing whatever, whenever. But if the why is not big enough, the simplest how-to, whether it's picking up that phone and getting on a conference call, whether it's picking up the phone and going after a lead or meeting somebody, will become too difficult. And you'll give up. You'll be like the statistics. Most of the people who come in our business leave, don't they? If they don't know why they got here, they don't have that purpose stated. But when you do, you become amazing and you can be at the top. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some thoughts with you. If you have an interest in my planners, you can go to My Daily Director, that website, mydailydirector.com. They're a very productive tool. They're very inexpensive. They're helpful. There's no magic bullet to this, but what it is just a tool to help you glue and put your life together the way you want it. Think of this. What if you could have a tool that you and just 10 people who you influence knew why they were doing what they're doing? How powerful would your life and business be? Just 10. What if those 10 had 10? Well, you're unstoppable. You'd become an amazing organization because you would have troops who knew what they were going to do, who stayed on in the business, and they developed themselves into the people they were designed to be. So I challenge you. You know, what could you give somebody this year that could change next year? Next year, 2007, is going to be approaching here in just a few days. What do you want that week, year to look like? Well, if you don't plan it out, trust me, somebody else will be planning it out for you. Henry Ford says, you either have goals or you're working for somebody who does. Oliver Wendell Holmes has got a great quote. He says, once a mind stretched to a new idea can never go back to its original form. That's great. What do you want to stretch your mind to have next year become if we are our thoughts? He also has another great quote. It says, greatness is not where we stand, but in what direction we're going. Sometimes you must sail with the wind and sometimes against the wind, but you must pull up anchor, grab the rudder, and leave the harbor. See, most of us just kind of sit around and wait and see. We try to defy the laws of nature by saying, I'll just see how it works out. So I ask you, how's it working out for you so far? I think every one of us could have the year of our dreams if we have a way to get them, but you must dream. You must think for your change, and when you do, you'll have the life of your dreams. So James, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share. Hope I didn't go too long. I'll answer questions or do whatever as you wish.
Bill, I certainly do appreciate that. There's certainly nothing that I can add to it that would, it was just fabulous. I strongly recommend, folks, that you get this planner and plan your life. I know one thing for sure. I've got it, and if I'm not planning things, it's just like Bill said, it gets planned for me. The only way to get to the top is to put a plan together to get there, and then, as Bill said, to know your why. And that's why we spent so much time on the 20 reasons and the top three to be carrying in your wallet and your car and so forth. Now I hope you understand how important that is. Bill, it was fabulous. I really do appreciate you being here this morning. I'll open up the lines to see if we've got questions from anyone.
Bill, I've been on your site, and I maybe missed it, but how big are the pages? I just need to know if it's going to fit into the holder that I already have. Or
standard 8.5 by 11, three-hole drill document.
You said 8.5 by 11?
Yeah, it'll fit into any of it. We put it to a standard format because most paper we deal with today is 8.5 by 11.
Okay.
So it's... binder is a standard three-ring binder. The paper are standard 8.5 by 11. The planner goes from December through December of next year, so you got 13 months. And there's, you know, typical things that you would get in a calendaring kind of thing. There's some performance tools that are there, month at a glance, you know, other things. But the key to this is a tool to help you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's an awesome call.
Thank you.